It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. Yes, we're doing that every morning, 7 days a week. And you can catch us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And welcome to a Friday. Yes, the weekend is looming large, isn't it? The 23rd day of February today. And I want you to cast your mind back to when we had FOMO in the market, which arrived not that long after COVID announced itself to the world. You'll remember things went crazy. Things went nutty. Properties were selling almost at the click of your fingers. Snap. And it was gone. And blue chip stock was lightning fast. And in a hot market, you had to seize prime properties with swift action. No time to dilly-dally. And what happened as a result of all of this FOMO was an increase, a surge in professional buyers' agents that hit the market. And we talk to many of them, and they became this what I would call an astute bridge to market knowledge beyond the online data that we can all get ourselves from our computers. But more crucially is the knowledge that they have within the market when it comes to real estate agents and off-market sales opportunities, because they actually do exist. And we are off to Sydney this morning to catch up with Veronica Morgan, and she is from Good Deeds Property Buyers. And good morning, Veronica. Welcome back to the Real Estate Breakfast. How is your 2024 going?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. 2024 so far. Well, you know, it's been an interesting year, and I would have to say it's been an interesting 4 years since COVID. So it's not as fast entering into the year as what normally we experience, but it's constant, if that makes sense. So, but I've given up trying to make sense of it.
I think a lot of people are with you. So picking up on that point about the FOMO market that we had and the increase in buyers' agents as a result, you know, people with experience were identifying the supply and demand situation here. There were a lot of people that just couldn't, as hard as they tried to transact, and many, so many people, you know, stepped into becoming these buyers' agents. So in terms of the way the industry is regulated, perhaps first off, Veronica, talk to that for our real estate audience so that we can better understand some of the processes in place.
Yes. Look, you know, it's become a bit fashionable to become a buyer's agent. And, you know, it's good on one hand, but it's actually could be quite diabolical for consumers on another. And why I say that is because our regulators and the licensing regime hasn't seemed to have caught up, cottoned on to the risks associated to consumers with working with buyer's agents that aren't that experienced or don't have that greater depth of knowledge. Now, when I say our legislators and regulators haven't cottoned on, every state and territory in this country has a different licensing regime. And in fact, property law is different in every jurisdiction. So it's 8 different jurisdictions. And each one has a somewhat similar process to becoming an agent in that there's qualifications to be gained. But some jurisdictions require zero work experience. So you can just basically get licensed, get a diploma and bang, set up shop. And you've never worked a day in real estate in your life. And all of a sudden you're a buyer's agent. You can charge people money to go out there and buy a property for them. And in other states, you do actually have to have some work experience. So there's a difference across the board in terms of the level, I guess, of experience qualifications somebody may have to become a buyer's agent, depending on where they got qualified. But the problem with that qualification process as well is that it's actually set up for churning out sales agents and property managers. So the whole course curriculum is around teaching them what's involved to do their job, not teaching a buyer's agent what they need to do their job. And while a lot of people just think it's the other side of the sales coin, it isn't. because a buyer's agent needs to understand about due diligence. I mean, it's horrific to think that people could be buying property and paying an expert, in inverted commas, who actually doesn't know any more than they do about the buying process and about the due diligence that needs to be done. But that is actually the danger of what can happen in the current setup.
Now, I want to pick you up on something, because just at the start of what you were saying, there are some territories that you don't need to have any qualification. Did I hear that right? And if so, where is that?
Well, weirdly enough, I have heard this anecdotally. So I've been told this by somebody who wants to become a buyer's agent in the Northern Territory. But they have told me, now, if you go on the Northern Territory's website, it says that you need a license, but they've been advised by the government there that they don't need a license. So that's somewhere where you don't actually need any qualifications, according to that person who's done that research. But having said that, I've never actually met a buyer's agent from the Northern Territory, and we're still trying to work out if any exists up there. Queensland, however, you do need to have some qualifications, but that's got the least amount of qualifications, and you don't need any work experience. The most amount is in Victoria, New South Wales, ACT and WA, where you do need to have both a certificate for and a diploma, as well as some work experience. But the other states, you can just get the qualification and no experience needed.
Now, when you're saying a qualification, this qualification is different to becoming a real estate agent and having that qualification.
No, it's the same.
Ah.
So there's nothing specific to the buying side. So there's nothing taught. There are four subjects that could be somewhat related to the buyer's agent skill set. But for example, if you engaged a buyer's agent, you'd want to know that they knew what, you know, how to go about due diligence, how to work out whether, you know, DAs can affect the value of the property. You'd want to know whether they could work out, you know, whether, you know, what's happening with the sewer line and whether or not it should be encased or not, or whether it's been approved. There's a whole bunch of things that a buyer's agent really should be looking into on behalf of their clients, but that none of that is taught in the licensing qualification process.
Now, okay, so even I'm learning something here. So one of the problems is that the bar, it can be argued that the real estate entry bar is pretty low to begin with. And if there is nothing specific for the buyer's agent, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
It's a huge problem. And I think one of the reasons why it's not recognised is because if you think about it, in Australia, there's supposedly something like 70,000 real estate agents. Now, the process was simplified some years ago so that there's no delineation between a real estate, a sales agent and a property manager, nor a buyer's agent. So they're all three are lumped in under the same licensing. So there's 70,000 agents in total. You know, you could argue that there might be, and we don't know for sure because there's no official figures, there's best guess is there's something like 2,000, maybe 3,000 buyer's agents. Now, if there's 2,000 or 3,000 buyer's agents out of 70,000 real estate agents, you can appreciate why the licensing, those people that set up licensing and the regulators, why they really can't be bothered allocating the resources to make sure that there's proper training, because it's a tiny proportion of the marketplace. And the reality is that the danger to consumers is that you've got a buyer's agent recommending you on the type of property that you should buy, whether you should buy that one or not, whether you should pay X dollars for it or not, whether or not, you know, all these things have been checked and due diligence has been checked. There's a hell of a lot of things that need to be done. I haven't even touched on strata. That's even another whole minefield. Mm. And so, you know, the buyer's agent is responsible for what could turn out to be an enormous mistake for a client. Oh, it could be a great advantage to them. But odds are, if they don't know how to check, that it could be an enormous mistake.
Well, you say enormous, and that's exactly where it could land, because the space that these buyer's agents, many of them have identified, is what I said at the start. These premium properties, these blue chip properties, you're talking millions and millions of dollars of property. And boy, if that goes south, I mean, that's why we're having the conversation today.
That's true. But, you know, I think an even greater danger are the people that actually can't afford the million-dollar properties, so the multi-million dollar properties, the people who really have one shot at getting it right, you know, their property decisions, they won't be able to recover from a mistake. And if they're putting their trust in a buyer's agent who doesn't know any more than they do, really, they're just really good at talking, they're great at marketing themselves, then, you know, they really run the risk of really financial ruin. And I know this sounds a little bit dramatic, and I know that a lot of people probably listened to this and went, oh, come on, how often does that happen? But you know what? If you actually, there's a report that CoreLogic put out every quarter. It's called the Pain and Gain Report. And what that does is it actually tallies up how many people lost or made money from property sales in the previous quarter. So roughly give or take 10% of properties every quarter is selling in Australia at a loss. Mm-hmm. So that's just scratching the surface. That's nominal, that's on sale price. So it just sort of indicates or points to the risk of getting it wrong and how it can really undo people financially. So this is something that, you know, as I said, I don't think our legislators or regulators really fully appreciate this, because we, as buyer's agents, we're a small proportion of the real estate population. And in reality, the amount of people that ultimately use a buyer's agent is relatively a small proportion of the buying population as well.
Yeah. And of course, you know, good on you, because you're actually looking at all of this from a mentoring aspect as well, because you have veronicamorgan.com.au where you are mentoring specifically new buyer agents.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I can whinge and complain about this and rant about it, which I have done for many years. And in fact, I was the vice president of REBA, which is a Real Estate Buyers Agents Association, some years back. I was I used to co-host a television show on Foxtel, which promoted really effectively the use of buyers agents. So I felt that it was my responsibility to put my hand up and advise people that there's a warning here. You've got to be careful about the buyer's agent you choose. You know, you choose a really good local specialist, someone who's got loads of experience, excellent due diligence processes, and really has your best interest at heart. They're your secret weapon. You know, you will buy a hell of a lot better by engaging such a buyer's agent. The problem is that a lot of these new entrants, they don't even realize half the things that an experienced buyer's agent knows. And so therefore there's an enormous risk to consumers. So I thought, well, I can be whinging about it constantly, or I can stand up and do something about it. So I did put together a mentoring program, and we do have, look, I'm never going to be mentoring every single new entrant, because a lot of them sadly are just about transactions. They just want to get in and they want to try and make a lot of money. What I'm doing is for those who want to do it right and want to become really great buyer's agents, we're teaching them everything they need to know. So they, from the get-go, they're actually helping clients not being dangerous weapons out there.
Well, that is a lot of information, Veronica. It feels like we've got to get you back on and sort of do a part two with this, because it is such a big one. But thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast again this morning, and catch up soon.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
It was a lot easier to find that stamp duty. It wasn't really encroaching into 6 months of take-home salary, instead just 1 month. So it's a different sort of a landscape. People are really still struggling with this, particularly those in Sydney.
Yeah, Craig, it's absolutely incredible to think that stamp duty is now on average at a 6 month wage. When we look at Avalon Beach, our average sale price is around the 2.6 mark, which brings stamp duty to around $130,000. I would definitely encourage a change to stamp duty. We're looking at probably about 5% of a transaction price in today's prices, and that can be a real barrier for accessible ownership.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, the Real Estate Podcast.